Good morning. In order for a criminal defendant to plead guilty in a case, he must have a knowing and voluntary waiver of the rights. He must understand the constitutional, statutory, and procedural rights which he's giving up. Rule 11 provides a framework for a district judge to advise a defendant of those rights. Now, in this case, Judge Sharp failed to comply with the requirements of Rule 11 in three respects. He failed to advise Mr. Griffin that he had the right to testify, although he advised him he had the right not to testify.
That's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that it is, Judge. Mr. Griffin...
Everybody knows roughly what a trial is. And in a trial, you get to testify.
Other things
people don't understand. Everyone knows that if you elect a trial, then you could testify if you wanted to. You probably wouldn't want to, but you could.
In this case, the right to compulsory process was not advised to Mr. Griffin, nor was the right to present evidence. Finally, the nature of the guidelines...
Compulsory process as an obscure technical term, but I don't understand. I mean, I say, people know they can testify at a trial, they can have witnesses. They know that. They may not know that they can compel a witness to testify. That I agree. That's not obvious, but a lot of it is obvious.
Now, Judge Posner, if that were obvious, then there would be no necessity in Rule 11 to require that the court advise
the law person. Often requires a lot of stuff that's perfectly obvious, and you don't want to use, and we don't let you use that to upset a conviction on the basis of pure technical oversights that have no effect on anybody.
Well, let's see, Judge, how technical this is. There's no plea agreement in this case, so there's nothing in the plea agreement that sets out those rights. There is the colloquy between the court and the defendant which sets those rights out.
Well, I'm giving you the compulsory process. I'm just saying you have to tell a person that if you don't plead guilty and you go to trial, yeah, you could testify, you could present evidence. That's what a trial is.
Judge, there also is a right to appeal.
Has this person ever been in a trial before?
I think the pre-sentence report indicates that in all cases he pled guilty, but there's no indication as to what any judge ever advised him in those plea colloquies.
Yeah, were those federal or state convictions?
Those were state convictions.
And so given that the rule does spell these things out, here's my issue. The judge says, it's easier to get done when I work off a script, but we'll get it all done. And were you the trial counsel?
No, I was not.
So, I mean, isn't part of the obligation of defense counsel and government counsel, it's not like this checklist of Rule 11 is obscure or nobody can find it, that when a judge doesn't hit it, you say, judge, you haven't said anything about the right to testify or subpoena witnesses or present evidence.
I think that's true, Judge Wood and
Williams.
Judge Williams,
sorry. Right, it's the short hair.
And a couple of weeks ago, this court issued an opinion in Sura, which is recent enough that it's not cited in any of the briefs, and it involves the issue of right to appeal. Now, everyone knows, presumably, that there is a right to appeal, but the failure of the judge...
Not necessarily, because often you waive that when you plead guilty, right? That's part of the deal, right?
The issue in this case was the defendant had waived the right to appeal without being advised that he had the right to appeal.
That's significant, yeah.
So what I'm saying, though, is isn't there some obligation on counsel when the judge... I mean, we see a fair number of these guilty pleas where there's one piece missing or another piece missing or another piece missing, and it is a little frustrating to me because everybody knows what the script is. Everybody knows the rights they should be advised of. Why isn't somebody saying to the trial judge, judge, you forgot this, or can you explain this, or can you explain that?
I think in an ideal world that would happen, but
I don't know. It just seems to me that ought to be part of standard practice when you're a defense counsel and a government prosecutor that if the judge misses something, you tell the judge. Because judges do these things repeatedly. I don't know why the judge didn't have the script out there, but I just... Anyway.
I would agree that both defense counsel and the prosecution should be watching what the judge is doing and calling attention to errors at the time they can be corrected. Unfortunately, they did not, and that's why we're on a plain error standard here. I believe my time is up with regard to the remaining two issues. Unless there are questions, I'll rely on the briefs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Schmidt?
Where there has been no timely objection, the Supreme Court has emphasized that the policy of Rule 52B is that it should be tough for someone to successfully say, oh, Judge, you missed one of the notice provisions of Rule 11.
And I don't have any quarrel with that, but I put the same question to you. You have the checklist as the prosecutor. You know when the judge doesn't hit it. Why isn't it? I mean, we would have, these wouldn't even be issues on appeal if somebody said, Judge, you missed this, this, and this. And, you know, is there anything about the admin? I mean, why there, wasn't that done?
There is, Your Honor. No one would accuse me as a prosecutor of being a potted plant, but when you get in that dynamic and the judge is rolling, it takes a bit to say, hey, Judge, you missed a point here. And he'll say, I covered that, you know, because he covered three of the 5 points of Rule 11B1E.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand you're working in the atmosphere of individual personalities of judges, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions or anything, but perhaps when the whole thing is over, you know, you suggest that, or you get a copy of the transcript and you show the judge. It just seems to me there
should have been done here,
yeah,
for sure. But the standard here is, has the defendant shown that he would have acted differently if the judge had fleshed out? Because the judge did go through all many of the rights, including the right to a jury trial. And subsumed in that is the right to testify, present evidence, and compel witnesses. This is very different than the Sura case, where someone who pled guilty...
Not compel witnesses. That's pretty esoteric. Is there an issue here that he might have had witnesses?
None whatsoever, Your Honor. There's not a suggestion in the record that he could have called any different witnesses. The evidence was quite plain. It was a traffic stop on the toll road. He was found with a sawed-off shotgun after a consent search. He was the only one there. No suggestion he could have called any witnesses to have affected his case whatsoever. That's why he pled guilty. And there's nothing in this record which is required to show that he would have done something different if the judge had fleshed out these minor points a little bit more. This is very different than the Sura case, where someone who pled guilty and was waiving his appeal right. Here, a defendant who has pled guilty knows they're not going to trial. And this defendant was found guilty in paragraph 28 of the pre-sentence investigation report. His criminal confinement conviction was following a trial because the report indicates he was found guilty, and that was in 1998. He has three additional adult felony convictions on top of that one, drugs.
And then here we have a situation where, you know, on the right to allocute, which is pretty clear, and you've actually confessed, I mean, you agree that he wasn't given an opportunity to speak. There was no opportunity as the judge was rolling forward to say, Judge, can you hold on just a minute? He hasn't had a chance to speak. That's a problem here?
It has been, Your Honor, and that's in part why we've confessed error.
He did give him a chance after he indicated what the sentence was.
He did, and the defendant spoke briefly, but the decisions of this court, including in the Lupke case, have basically said that where you don't give him a chance before effectively announcing the sentence.
So you agree it should go back for resentencing?
Just for resentencing, Your Honor, but we believe strongly that he hasn't shown that there is any actual prejudice, that these affected his substantial rights, or that this affected the integrity, fairness, or reputation of the plea proceeding in this case. So the conviction should be affirmed. Just remand for resentencing. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. So, Mr. Stephen, your time expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like.
No, I would have nothing further, Your Honor.
Okay, well, and you were appointed, were you not? Okay, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of
you. Thank you, Your Honor.